We will begin the next part of our meeting, which is the offenders. And the first up is, I believe, Mr. Freddie K. Pruitt. And Officer Drummond, I see you.
I'll just give a brief introduction before turning this over to law enforcement. Mr. Freddie K. Pruitt, Jr., a commercial fisherman registration licensee, was convicted on December 9, 2015, for one count of obstructed call rings, on December 16, 2014, for one count of untagged oysters, and on September 10, 2014, for one count of obstructed call rings.
All right. Officer Drummond, you've been sworn in, or no, you haven't. Do you solemnly swear the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so have you got?
I do.
Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon. First offense, this offense occurred on Wednesday, August the 20th, 2014, approximately 1240 hours in Accomack County. I was on a boat patrol in the Chesapeake Bay near Nancott Creek checking crab pot call rings. I pulled 10 crab pots bearing identification number C0480, which is registered to Mr. Pruitt. All 10 of these crab pots had two call rings, but they were obstructed by the crab pot's wire. So it was two call rings, but both were obstructed. The wire inside the call ring had been cut, but it had not been removed from the ring's opening. I later came upon Mr. Pruitt, who was working these pots. Mr. Pruitt said he saw me coming, but it wasn't much he could do with 400 crab pots in the water. He said that jokingly and was very cooperative. Regulation 4 VAC 2700-20, Section B, states it should be unlawful for any person to place, set, or fish any crab pot in Virginia waters that does not contain at least two unobstructed call rings of at least 2 3/8 inches inside diameter. And on September 10th, 2014, Mr. Pruitt was convicted in Accomack County Dental District Court. He received a $150 fine with a $121 court cost. Would you like Officer Holliday next, or want me to continue with my second one?
I would go. You mean your second conviction for call rings? Yes, let's do that.
Second call ring violation, October 8, 2015. This offense occurred Thursday, October 8, 2015, at approximately 1040 hours in Accomack County. I was on small boat patrol, Pungatig and Nancott Flats area, checking crab pot call rings again. I pulled six crab pots bearing identification number C0480. All six of these crab pots had two call rings, with one or both rings being obstructed. Again, the crab pot's wire had been cut but not removed from the call ring opening. I encountered Mr. Pruitt a short time later as he worked these pots, which were registered to him. Again, Regulation 4 VAC 2700-20, Section B, states it's unlawful for any person to place, set, or fish any crab pot in Virginia waters that does not contain at least two unobstructed call rings of at least 2 3/8 inches inside diameter. On December 9, 2015, Mr. Pruitt was convicted in Accomack County General District Court. He did not appear. He received a fine of $250 with a $121 court cost. And again, on this occurrence, he was cooperative.
All right. Thank you, Officer Drummond. Is there anything else you'd like to state for the record?
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Can you explain to me, he says the wire was cut, but the rings were still, describe that to me. It was quite cut, but it was still obstructing the hole. How does that work?
Yes, sir. The call ring that's put in the side of the crab pot, once it's fastened to the side of the pot, it's got the wire that has to be removed from the inside of it, the crab pot wire, so that the ring is open and unobstructed. And what they'll do a lot of times, they'll either not cut the wire at all, so the wire straight up obviously obstructing it, or they'll cut the wire and they'll either bend it up or bend it down at an angle so the ring is still obstructed. It's not a clear opening. Most of them, when they're trying, they'll either cut the wire out completely or they'll completely bend the wire up back into the pot itself so that that ring stays unobstructed and open.
So if the ring is here and the wire was just at a 90-degree angle to it, would that be obstructed?
No, it's the wire actually inside the ring, inside the side. If this is the side of the crab pot, we've got all the wire from the mesh from the crab pot itself. When they put the ring in and fasten it, they have to go inside there and cut the wire out
so that the ring is open. What they'll do a lot of times, they'll either not cut the wire at all, so obviously it's not open, or they'll cut it and they bend it back, or they'll bend it down on an angle so it's still partially obstructing the culvert.
Okay. Is there any possibility that that wire, if it was bent, could be just by the water flowing through it, bended back down?
The only complaints that I've heard of in my time here is that sometimes the crabs will do it or the lime will get tied up in it and end up bending the rings. But, again, I can understand that for the ones that the wire has been cut and they supposedly bend it up out of the ring and then a crab might get in there and bend it back. But the wire does not cut at all. I mean, that's...
Well, and am I correct, you checked more than one crab pot, right?
Yes, sir.
And they were all the same way?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions of Officer Drummond? Thank you, Mr. Officer Holliday. Can I swear you in first? You solemnly swear that you will state that you solemnly swear to tell the truth, hold nothing, truth but nothing for the Lord. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Lord, excuse me.
First off, I need to make a correction on this. The charges it's listed up here is unculled oyster 1750. Actually, it's untagged oysters 1250.
Right. Okay, untagged oysters.
Yes, sir. This offense occurred on November 18th of 2014, approximately 12:40 in the afternoon. I was at Deep Creek in Newport News monitoring the oyster harvest. Had occasion to board a commercial oyster vessel. It was captained by Freddie Klein Pruitt, Jr., and requested the oyster harvest tag for that day's catch. Mr. Pruitt gave me a shellfish tag which had his name and his harvester identification number on it. State law requires, in addition to those that information, which was the only thing that was on there at the time, it also requires a harvest date, harvest time, time that is landing, harvest area, type of shellfish, and quantity of shellfish on board the vessel. Like I said, the only thing that was on it was the name and the number, his VMRC number. I did issue him a summons for untagged oysters, VAC, for VAC 20-1250-30. His catch was returned to the river. Mr. Pruitt was tried in Newport News on December 16, 2014, found guilty. His fine was $50 with the court cost of $91.
Anything else you'd like to say, State? Any questions for Officer Holliday? Thank you. I guess at this point we would like to hear from Mr. Pruitt.
What? Can we hear from
Mrs. Pruitt? We certainly may. Can I swear you both in? Do you both solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. Would one speak at the time, please?
Freddie Klon Pruitt, Jr., and I understand them coverings. I understand that. And I got 400 pots overboard at Cape Charles now, and every one of them's overboard. And that, and they're over. And that untagged oyster, the tag, it was a bad day. You know, there were a lot of wind and cold, and I guess we had 30-mile wind. And I was trying to do it, you know, when I got my limit. So I told the boys, I said, when we get to the dock, I'm gonna finish it. And as soon as I got to the dock, you know, I got boarded.
All right. Ms. Pruitt, yes, ma'am.
I would like to tell y'all that partially this is my fault because I was calling him all day long because the weather was awful. And we live on the Eastern Shore. I had a meeting that afternoon. I'm a school teacher. I had a meeting that afternoon, and I needed him to get home as quickly as possible so he could watch our daughter. So it's partially my responsibility because he was trying to get in, and the weather was bad. So he was going to fill him in while he was waiting to unload because there's usually a wait to unload. He was boarded immediately. The oysters never left the boat. And also, I would also like to point out, when we went to court, if you notice, he only got a $50 fine. Because the judge was pretty understanding, and thank the Lord, he did grant some leniency. So we would also like to ask if you all would do that. And for the call rings, I can vouch for it, because my daughter and I helped him this spring get those pots ready to go in the water, and I personally made sure they're all open. So I just wanted to add to that, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I have some questions, I'm sure.
I got questions for both of them. Now, you're telling this commission that you and your daughter put these call rings in the pot and made them legal?
Yes, sir.
Are you saying that the officer is incorrect when he's...
Yes, sir. I said right now, the ones that are in the water now.
Okay.
My daughter and I helped him this spring get them together. He hasn't had a ticket this spring, sir.
All right. Well, let me ask you about... He's got like 7 or 8 obstructed call rings. Do you know what the requirement is?
Yes, sir. We do now.
But what about 2000? In May of 2000, obstructed call rings. That's the first one, and I say that's fine. You should learn from that. Well, then you got May 2nd, 2001, obstructed call rings. And then you got June 10th of 2003, obstructed call rings. And then you got August 18th, 2008, obstructed call rings. September 13th, 2008, obstructed call rings. September 23rd, 2009, obstructed call rings. July 27th, 2010, obstructed call rings. And then you have these two charges. Now, let us know something. What did you learn?
I'm going to answer that. And I know the right way to get out of ticket is not to say I'm not the only one speeding. But I will tell you, if you go in the water, anywhere up and down the Chesapeake Bay, and this is not justifying what my husband has done in the past, but if you go in the water when crabbing is tight, there is not a waterman on the Chesapeake Bay that will not have those call rings blocked. And I hate to say it, but it's the truth. Now, this year, we got crabs all over the place. So I can guarantee you those call rings are open for most of the watermen. But in these previous years, when we've had crabs that have been tight, and the waterman's been trying to support their family, and I'm not justifying what's wrong is wrong, but they did what they had to do to try to make a living to support their family.
All right. Do you understand the reasons for the call rings?
I do, sir.
And what do you think, in your mind, would be fair disposition on all these watermen that you're talking about that are violating the law and hurting the industry? What do you think, if you were sitting where I'm at, what would you do?
Well, right now, I'd say the industry is not hurt too much if you would go out there in the bay and see all the crabs that we have. I think what you all have done and the regulations that you all have passed is definitely working. But what I would also say is, as a parent of a child, and you're trying to feed them, sometimes you do what you have to do. And I'm afraid that's what a lot of our watermen have been forced to do.
Okay.
Thank you.
I got a question for him.
Mr. Zener has a follow-up question for
Mr. Pruitt. You heard me ask your wife about all these convictions over the years. Is it that you just don't care about what the law is?
Yes, I do care. I don't know what, you know, because I have 400 pies out, all of them were closed. You know, there's some certain roads, you know, you. Wherever you had your pies, but all 400 weren't closed. But I understand now.
Well, and then the follow-up question, I guess, is with all these convictions for the same thing, that's what kind of baffles me. What is going to make us believe that you're not going to just go ahead back and next year be the same way?
No, sir. I'm going to pass.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Erskine.
So of those obstructed call rings, were they actually cut and bent up, as the officer explained, or were they uncut?
They were cut.
They were never cut.
Yeah, they were cut, yes, sir. They were cut, and they were bent just a little, you know. I had them opened one time, and it just, you know, like I said, where the craze was, they were kind of, you know, you could take it right out the rings. So I'm just telling you, you know.
Mr. Erskine, as a follow-up question.
As a follow-up on the other conviction is for the untagged oysters, and you claim that you were in the process of writing the tag out that you had. When did you start that process?
When I got done, you know, working. When I went in the cabin, you know, the house, the boat, I started doing it, and then the boat was doing so much, you know, doing so much rocking. So I told the boys, I said, get in the house when we get to the dock, we'll finish the tags. As soon as I got to the dock, you know,
do you know when you're supposed to fill the tag out?
Well, you're supposed to fill it out when you get done working.
So before you leave the harvest area?
Before you leave the harvest, yeah.
Yes, okay. Sir. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I just got a follow-up.
Mr. Zedrin.
You heard your wife tell me that testify that, you know, times were tight the last couple of years, and most of the crabbers out there restricted their call rings. Did you intentionally restrict your call rings? Or
not all of them, I didn't.
But some you did?
Some of them.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions of Mr. Pruitt? All right. Seeing none, we'll have staff recommendation before us. Thank you, Mr. and Ms. Pruitt.
Commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that after three court-adjudicated convictions of Category 3 violations, they require a harvester to appear before the commission. That's what we've done here today. The commission's new guidelines for sanctions established on July 1, 2015, specify that two convictions of obstructed call rings within a 24-month period should result in at least a two-year probation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission place Mr. Pruitt on probation for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, April 26, 2016, through April 25, 2018. Any failure on Mr. Pruitt's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the two-year probation would result in Mr. Pruitt appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
All right. You've heard staff's recommendation. Is there anything else you want to mention? We'll operate on a motion.
No.
Question of counsel.
Question of counsel. Yes, sir.
Do these offenses still fall under the two-year maximum, or are we to the five-year?
The last one is after the adoption of the new sanctions, so you can go up to 5 years.
So we could put him on probation longer than 2 years if we want.
That's correct.
Mr. Zedrin.
You know, what I heard there kind of disturbs me a little bit is that, assuming what Mrs. Pruitt said, I mean, if this is an epidemic out there, that just because, you know, we don't control the resource as far as how many there are and those type of things, and if the industry out there or the majority of these people are intentionally violating the law because they want to get their harvest, I think we need to send a message out there and say that's not what it's all about. It's just like saying, well, you know, why don't we just do the same thing for cocaine or heroin or something, you know? A guy needs to sell it and so to make a living. So, and the other thing that concerns me is this history since 1999 and seven or eight obstructed call rings. One's enough, two's too many. Three is out of sight, and seven is ridiculous. And I think we need to send a message, and at the appropriate time, I'm not going to ask that we follow a probation here alone, but this we need to send a message to at least revoke his licenses for 6 months and then put him on probation for the 5 years. That's my point of view.
Mr. Zedrin? All right. Any other discussion?
I honestly think, you know, I'm looking, I think 17 or 18 convictions, that's a lot. That's really a lot. And I really think we need to send a message. I'd like to make a motion that we go with a five-year probation.
All right. We have a motion for a five-year probation. And the Attorney General has said that we can do that. Of course, we need a second, and I also entertain any further discussion. We need a second on the motion if we want.
I'll second it, I guess, to give a chance for further discussion.
Okay, so we have a motion for a five-year probationary period. Any discussion on that? I, in light of no other discussion, I will say you mentioned history, and you know, one of the things, this fishery is one that the VMRC for decades has had a hard time getting its arms around. And so I think these folks, these fishermen, are operating in the historical sense of this fishery. And so what I think Mr. Pruitt has done is not perhaps been, as his wife has testified, not unusual, we'll call it that. And so the only thing I worry about is that we're going to take one person and we're going to be a little bit more tough on him. It seems to me, given history, I have a little bit harder time with that because it is a different precedent than we've seen in this fishery for some time. And, again, the staff recommendation is for 2 years. So, Mr. Zedrin, go ahead.
Well, I would agree with you, but for 21 convictions. That's Commissioner Neal said it was 21, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you know, if this was one or two, that's fine. But 21, that's – so I don't think we're singling this person out you know, a representative of what's happened in the industry. I mean, 21 convictions is just a lot. And I would move to amend the motion to 6 months revocation and 5 years probation.
Just to clarify, kept out for a maximum of 5 years, so it'd be 6 months.
Right.
Revocation, 4.5.
Balance. Yeah. Right. Yes, sir, ma'am.
Okay.
Mr. Ballard.
Certainly understand Mr. Tankard's comments and Mr. Zedron's. And when it comes to the history, I'm sympathetic to that, too. I think we've heard testimony of people not even realizing when they received these tickets that they were being counted up and that there would ever be this history of 21 tickets. They almost viewed it as, I don't know, a parking ticket or something similar to that. At the same time, we have seen, as this commission has steadily taken more increased severity of penalties, we have seen newspaper articles, there has been public comments, news episodes about the increasing seriousness of this commission and the seriousness of these violations. So I can see both sides of that argument.
Well, thank you for mentioning that. Any other comments? Mr. Franz.
Yes, as a working waterman, you know, this is 9 violations for obstructions of coal rings with the one we're talking about today. I know, I can probably say I know 50 watermen, and between the 50 of them, I couldn't say they've had 22 violations. You know, I think this is serious. You know, you reach a certain point where a slap on the hand doesn't do any good anymore, and I would go with Mr. Miner's motion for 5 years of probation.
At this point, we have an amendment, a proposed amendment to the motion, so we need a second for that to carry. Otherwise, Mr. Miner's motion would carry.
I'll second it.
You're going to second the amendment, which, again, the amendment is a six-month revocation with a four-and-a-half, followed by a four-and-a-half-year probation.
Is yes.
That correct? Okay. All right, so all in favor of that amendment, signify by saying aye. Raise your hand, please. Four. All those against that motion, signify and raise hand by nay.
Nay.
So that amendment does not carry. We will go back to the original, original motion made by Mr. Miner for a five-year probationary period. So, and the who seconded that?
I seconded.
Okay, Dr. Neal. All those, I'm going to call the question on that. All in favor of the 5 year probationary period, raise your hand by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. So that is not unanimous, all but, and then, well, hold on, we'll go. All those against say nay.
Nay.
One nay vote. Mr. Erskine. So, with that, Mr. Pruitt, you have a 5 year probationary period. Do you understand that? Thank you for your testimony today, both of you.
Don't move.
go with John.
Yeah, you'll go with Chief Lauderman to explain any appeals you might want to make. Second case today is Mr. Christopher G. Beaucamp. Is he present today? Would you please come forward, Mr. Beaucamp?
Beaucamp was a commercial fisherman registration licensee, was convicted on August 12, 2015 for one count of possession of uncalled crabs, 21 in a bushel, and for one count of possession of uncalled crabs, 46 in one bushel.
All right. Officer Drummond, you are the officer who made the
first offense, June 24, 2015, for possession of uncalled crabs, 46 in one bushel. This offense occurred on Wednesday, June 24, 2015, at approximately 1530 hours in Accomack County. I was at an Ancock Seafood where I had issued a crab or a summons for bringing undersized crabs to the business. It's not in the report, but I received a phone call telling me that individual was on his way to the Ancock area with small crabs, and that's how I ended up at the business. An Ancock Seafood buys and sells crabs to include picked crab meat. I decided to check the business after the summons was issued to the waterman that arrived on scene. I decided to check the business cooler to see if there were other small crabs at the business. Mr. Beecham, who is here to my right behind me, he's the owner of the business. He said he had about 8 bushels in his cooler. I measured one of these U.S. standard bushels of crabs and found 46 undersized male hard blue crabs measuring less than 5 inches from tip to tip of their longest spikes. Code section 282708 states it's unlawful for any person to catch, take, or have in his possession more than 10 hard crabs per U.S. standard bushel, which measure less than 5 inches from tip to tip of their longest spikes. On August 12, 2015, Mr. Beecham was found guilty in Accomack County District Court, where he received a $50 fine and an $86 court cost. For the second violation, July the 4th, 2015, for possession of uncalled crabs, this offense occurred on Saturday, July the 4th, 2015, at approximately 1040 hours in Accomack County. Once again, I was at the Ancock Seafood, where I was checking hard crabs. I culled one U.S. standard bushel of crabs from the cooler there on site. This bushel of crabs contained 21 undersized male hard blue crabs, which measured less than 5 inches from tip to tip of their longest spikes. Mr. Beecham, who's the owner of the business, said that he had purchased the crabs from the name that you have there in your packet. I did ask him if he wanted to call that individual to come back to the business, and I would give him the ticket, but he didn't want to do that. He felt he wouldn't return anyway. On August 12, 2015, in Accomack County General District Court, he was found guilty, received a fine of $150 with the $86 court cost.
All right. And his disposition through all this?
Cooperative.
Thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to mention with regard to the offender?
No, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. All right. Would you like to? Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And would you state your name for the commission?
Christopher Beecham, and I run and operate on Ancock Seafood, where, yes, we retail crabs and we pick crab meat. Unfortunately for me, I was not very active out in the yard last year when crabs were being brought in due to the fact that I was in a wheelchair. It's been a long year, believe me. Anyway, the crabs that Mr. Drummond first talked about, I had a complaint from my pickers the day before that the crabs were small. It was my intention to be out there and call that crabber when he came in that day. Unfortunately, Mr. Drummond pulled up right behind him. I said, well, problem solved. Mr. Drummond called him, fined him, came in, told me about it, asked me if I had any crabs from the day before, and which I'd done told him that I'd had issues with my crab pickers. And he, anyway, I told him, yes, there was about 8 bushels of them still out there. He went out, pulled one, culled it, and fined me because I was the one that was holding them. The second issue, the second ticket, was from a relative who couldn't have sold his crabs on the 4th of July, asked me if I would put them in my cooler to hold them to the next day. I had not bought them, as Mr. Drummond has written in this document, but I was holding them in my cooler. Mr. Drummond called him and found, I think, 26 small crabs or something in that neighborhood in one of his bushels, informed me about it, and I knew that man already had one ticket. I said, no, I would take the ticket during my possession. So, therefore, I ended up with that ticket. And, therefore, I'm before you all now requesting that I keep my license to continue for another year, which this year I am more active out on the yard with a walker instead of a wheelchair. And yes, as the crabbers are bringing them in this year, we're dumping them into 100-pound fish boxes and looking to see what exactly we're buying. Fortunately, yet, it's early. I have one crabber that I've come to completely trust. One crabber I'm still evaluating. And as things pick up during the year, I expect that I'll turn some crabbers away, and I'll continue with some crabbers. Last year, I had on an average of 8 crabbers, and we picked on average 8 to 10 bushels a day. I think that's all I have to say.
Any questions from Mr. Beecham? Mr. Zedron.
I want to tell you that I'm pleased that you're honest and forthcoming with us, and that's what we like to hear from people like yourself.
Well, I have no intentions of obviously going out and breaking the law. And I think Mr. Drummond will tell you in the 3 or 4 years that I've known him, I have been very cooperative and very honest with him.
Mr. Franz has a question.
Yeah, Mr. Beecham, what would be your operating procedure if you do encounter crabbers bringing you small crab?
Well, currently, it's been to cut them off. Now, it's with the situation erupting the way it is, I will be calling Mr. Drummond forthhand, and I have his cell phone number in my little black book.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Beecham. Does staff have a recommendation?
The commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that 2 convictions of possession of more than 20 undersized crabs per bushel within a 24-month period should result in at least 1 year probation. So in accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission place Mr. Beecham on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, April 26, 2016, through April 25, 2017. Any failure on Mr. Beecham's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 1 year probation would result in Mr. Beecham appearing before the Commission for a hearing on license revocation.
All right.
I'll make a motion to accept staff recommendations.
All right, Mr. Ferns.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Kell. All right, so we have a motion by Mr. Ferns to accept staff recommendation and a second by Mrs. Kell. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Unanimous. Thank you, Mr. Beecham. You can follow officer there behind you. All right, Mr. Philip Brown. Would you come forward, sir?
Mr. Philip E. Brown, a commercial fisherman registration licensee, was convicted on October 14, 2015, on count of failure to have the required distance between a gill net and fixed fishing device. On July 28, 2015, for one count, failure to fish gill net. On April 28, 2015, for one count of leaving crab pots out of season. On March 11, 2015, one count of crab pots in Virginia waters between December 1, 2014 and March 16, 2015. And on February 11, 2015, for one count of possession of uncalled oysters.
I guess we'll... All right, looks like you want to start then.
I'm first on the list.
All right. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you very much.
On Monday, January 19, 2015, approximately 0945 hours, I conducted an inspection of harvesting oysters on the York River. I inspected one basket of oysters, placed them in my certified tub, checking them with my certified call stick, placing them in my certified four-quart container. After checking each oyster two times that I found in violation, I had filled up my four-quart container two times and still had oysters sitting on the deck. Mr. Brown was the captain of the vessel that day. I issued him a summons for the violation. February 9, 2015, he was convicted of charging Gloucester County General District Court. He was fined $25, and as of yesterday, that was still a past due.
Had not been paid.
That is correct.
And would you say your name into the microphone again for us?
Officer Henry Richland.
All right. Thank you, Officer Richland. All right. So the next conviction, yes, it is a conviction, Mr. Carl Dyes, Officer Carl Dyes. Officer Dyes, we need to swear you in as well. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you.
So on January 22, 2015, I was on patrol in the York River near the mouth of the Perrin River. I discovered five crab pots with the buoy numbers C2119. According to this VMRC identification number, these crab pots belong to Mr. Philip Brown of Gloucester. Regulation 4-VAC-20-270-40C states that it is unlawful to have to leave crab pots in the tidal waters of Virginia from December 1st, 2014 to March 16th, 2015.
All right.
He was convicted in Gloucester County General District Court on February 11, 2015. He was convicted in Gloucester County Court March 11, 2015 of having crab pots in the tidal water of Virginia. And the fine was $200 plus $6 court costs.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Anything else you want to add to that?
No.
All right. Thank you. So the next case is Mr. Officer K. Springfield. I'm just going down my list here. I'll have to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
On March 2, 2015, I received a complaint from a citizen that lived in a neighborhood off Brown's Neck. That there were several abandoned crab pots off his house close to shore. I responded out there in the Pocosin River near Brown's Neck and off the city of Pocosin, located the pots. There were 15 pots with VMRC ID number 21119, which comes back to Philip Eugene Brown out of Achilles. I got Mr. Brown's phone number off our paperwork, gave him a call, and informed him of the crab pots that I'd found, and he said that he was not aware that the pots were there, but that they were his pots, and that there were several pots that he had not gotten up due to family and mechanical reasons. I gave Mr. Brown an opportunity to get the pots out of the water, since it was almost 3 months past when they were supposed to be out of the water. I asked him when he could get the pots up, and he said if I could give him a week, and we agreed on a date that the pots would be up. 3 weeks after my original date. I went back on 4-2-2015 and found the exact same pots in the same locations they were when I notified him. Obtained a master summons from Mr. Brown. He appeared in York County General District Court on 4-28-2015 and was found guilty, pled not guilty, and was found guilty and fined $50 plus $61 court costs. Mr. Brown is to my left here. This is in violation of Virginia Code 4 VAC 2270-40C. Leave crab pots in the tidal waters of Virginia from December 1st to March the 16th.
Thank you. Anything else you'd like to state for the record?
No, sir.
Thank you very much. All right, so we'll go to the next one, Officer Ron Cagle. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, sir.
Great. I'll swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
On April 13, 2015, I noticed that there was a gillnet in the vicinity of the Guinea Marshes right off the Big Island, York Riverside, that had not been fished due to a high volume of debris. The net was extremely packed, very thick, extremely difficult to move. I tagged it with approved tag, and that was on April 13th. On April 17th, my next workday, I came back to the net. The net had not been fished, still had the tag attached to it with my point of contact as well as my cell phone number. I attempted to pull the net to seize it. I was unable to do so with my vessel due to the amount of debris in the net as well as decomposing fish and other items in there. I obtained magistrate summonses and served him on April 18, 2015. He was tried in Gloucester County General District Court and found guilty and appealed to Gloucester County Circuit Court on July 28, 2015, where he was fined $100 and $166 court costs.
Anything else you'd like to add to the record, sir?
No, sir.
Thank you very much. So the next one is with Officer Jamie Hogue. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Hogue.
All right. We'll swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you.
On September 8, 2015, I checked two gill nets that were near a licensed fishing device near Allen's Island off the York River in Gloucester County. I obtained the latitude and longitudes of the closest end of the gill net, which was the gill net number 14456, nearest to the end of the fixed fishing device, and also the furthest pole to the fixed fishing device. After obtaining the information, I contacted Bruce Bridger from our engineering department. Bruce Bridger plotted the coordinates and found that the gill net was 165.2 yards from the fixed fishing device. Regulation 4 VAC 20-1220-30 required distance between nets. It's unlawful to place a gill net within 300 yards of the side or end of any fixed fishing device. On October 14th, he was found guilty in Walsh County Court, fined $50, court cost of $96.
All right. Officer Hogue, is there anything else you'd like to mentioned in your testimony?
I do. Once I issued Mr. Brown the summons on September 12th at his residence, later that day he did contact us by phone stating that he had removed the next day.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Well, Mr. Brown, you've got a couple of incidences here, not just a couple, but I think I counted five. Do you want to start from the top, or?
It kind of looks bad. I know.
Excuse me.
The crab pots I left over all day. My son got in a bad accident at the time. He was in a bad accident. He was in a coma for another 2 months. So a friend of mine was supposed to take pots up. You know, I was in the hospital pretty much every day with him.
Is Mr. Brown sworn in?
Oh, excuse me. Thank you, Kathy. We'll swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
But anyway, them pies were supposed to be took up by a friend. Evidently, he must have missed them, which I didn't really think how many pies he had took up for me, you know, since I was busy in the hospital with him. So I did go after he realized the pies was over. Well, I went and took them up. But like the other guy, he gave me a week. I tried to get the pots one day because the tide was too low. my boat like I'm going to get done. Because them pods are sitting in the Carolina boat, and that's a 25-foot Seahawk. I'm sitting and I couldn't get to them. I did call him back and told him I didn't get the pods up in time. So I did go get the pods up. I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks after that. You know. And the ones that Chip Dyes told me about, I went and got those up, which I didn't know was left over on. So I got all that stuff up during the time that my child was sick and stuff. And the fight net, you know, sitting too close to the fight net, I've been working in water for 32 years, I guess, 30 years. I ain't never seen a fight in y'all room. Which I set the net like it was, you know, a decent distance from the thing, you know. I didn't have no idea of the law on it. I didn't try to break the law on that, which I didn't know about it. And the other thing, but the net overboard, when the net was left overboard, and she got scurfed up in a heavy wind, you know, like that winter slime hits the, you know, the net sometimes on the shoreline. And the net was set for people to use. It was a rock net, what it was. My nephew was catching the fish out of it. I wasn't even fishing out of it. And my brother-in-law was fishing out of it. So I went before to get it up. Well, I couldn't get it up by myself. Which I never seen a tag on the flag. And when I went back for to get the net up, since you told me about it, both buoys was going off of it. I'm sorry about that. Both buoys was going off, and the net was drug off with a piece of rope tied in the middle of it. So we finally got the net in. It took 3 of us to get it in. So much grass had drifted into it. So I got that up, which I tried before to get it up. But, you know, sometimes we get, like, crab box gets full of grass, and you got your campone scram off, and all kind of stuff. And the arse to take it. Well, I guess I had 2 cold boys, you know, hide to kill ostriches, which I didn't think it was lawful, you know, illegal to ostriches, you know, which I didn't run from anybody. I went right straight on the side of him, you know, I was going by the buyer's boat. But I guess he was illegal, some illegal ostriches to him. You know, I just can't pay attention to what the other 2 people was doing. You got them hired to do their job, and I got my job to do, be a captain, you know. But I guess he screwed it up, so that's pretty much what I got to say. And I didn't mean to do all this mess wrong, I tell you, but it just happened.
All right, Mr. Brown, I think we'll hear from staff unless we have any questions for Mr. Brown.
No, yes. I just have one.
Mr. Franz does.
Do you have a crab pile license or are you an agent?
Yeah, I got the crab pile license.
I just didn't see it on the list here.
Yeah, I haven't crabbed this year so far. By the way, I had crab pods at the creek. Somebody went out and threw it all in the creek, 65 pods on the day. Stomped them up and everything.
Any other
gillnet stove I'm in this year.
Any other questions of Mr. Brown?
Yes, I see on here that you have 13 past convictions along with the 5 in 2015.
Yes,
it's almost as if it's habitual. I think the gap, and you come in here like every year or every 2 years, and there's a gap.
I ain't been in front of the board in my life.
Okay. Well, you have there's a gap between 2002 and 2006, and it's starting over again like 2008, 2009, 2011, 2013, and now with the 15. Clearly, I think that it's almost as if you're a frequent visitor here.
I don't know what to say about the tickets. I mean, like, so it was not planned to get the ticket. This happened with a traffic ticket, I guess. I don't know. I didn't mean to get the tickets. I didn't even got the money to buy the people's tickets, you know. I ain't trying to bring it along. It just happens sometimes. I don't know what to say.
All right. Can we hear?
It's nothing done intentionally. I'm not trying to bring it along. Sometimes you just have.
All right. Can we hear from staff with their recommendation then?
Yes.
Well, I guess I will go through this quickly. The 1986 law enforcement report had established the three-peat rule, if you will, where individuals' convictions for three natural resource violations within a 12-month period would require an individual to appear before the commission with a staff recommendation of 1 year probation. Very few of those cases were ever brought before the commission, mostly because of the way the timing of court cases takes place. Three adjudications within a year is not an easy thing to achieve. So we went forward in 2013 with a law enforcement subcommittee that set new sanctions guidelines. There are still quite a few violations that come before you that are not listed in those tables. That is the case here. However, it was decided at that time, and then again in 2015 when we had a law enforcement subcommittee that revisited this, that rule of three more or less would still apply to those sanctions that were not covered in the tables. And that's what we're dealing with here today. So I'll get to the recommendation. The commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that after three court-adjudicated convictions of Category 3 violations, as I mentioned, not listed in your tables, requires a harvester to appear before the commission. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission place Mr. Brown on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, April 26, 2016, through April 25, 2017. Any failure on Mr. Brown's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 1 year probation would result in Mr. Brown appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Mr. Brown, do you have anything to say with regard to the staff recommendation?
Sure, thank you. I don't have much to say. I'm just sorry that it's just very hot.
All right. It's up to the commission at this point. Mr. Erskine.
Your testimony was previously, you don't know how, you know, these ones that we're talking about here, the five, I think, convictions that you currently have, how they happened, and you weren't trying to, you know, break the law.
Nobody tried to break the law. I didn't have to plan that.
Yep. And I understand that, but the bottom line is you did. You know, you did break the law, and that's why you're here. And as Mr. Minor points out, you have a history of, you know, having a problem with some of these regulations. And I don't know where – you know, we continue to come up with this probation, you know, kind of recommendation, but I seem to think the probation is a little bit lenient, you know, much like the first person that we had in front of us.
Like I said, I know it's been like
all right. So, Mr. Erskine, is that a motion or is that something?
No, it's just a discussion.
Discussion. Mr. Franz.
Yeah, I'm kind of in agreement with Mr. Erskine. You know, this is 18 violations, and, you know, we are responsible for what gear we set in the water and to get it up. I'm certainly sorry that your son had an accident and was hurt, and I hope he's okay.
Yes,
but
he's not.
We're all responsible for what we put out there, and we have to get it up in a timely manner.
All right, will we operate on a motion? Mr. Erskine.
In light of, I understand your circumstances and what Mr. France said as well, it's a responsibility that, you know, that you have. I'd make a motion for, I'm sorry, maybe I have to ask counsel first whether or not we can.
You lost counsel.
He's not here right now.
Well, I'm going to talk to an empty chair, I guess. I guess I'll postpone my motion until he returns.
If your question is about the time limit, he already answered that on that first one because these are
yes.
We're past our 2 year limitation.
Window of so having that. Okay.
You're up to your 5 years.
I'd make a motion then for 5 year probation.
I second that.
All right. We have a motion by Mr. Erskine for a 5 year probationary period, seconded by Mr. Minor. Any discussion on that motion and second? All right, I'll call for the question. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. All right, unanimously, 5 year probation. Do you understand that, Mr. Brown?
Sir, I can't get a big enough 5 years.
That's correct. You've got to play by the rules, or we will be you'll be here in front of us again, and it will not be a good outcome. I can guarantee you that.
I understand.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
I'm sorry, but
well, we'll just hope not to see you again.
We gave a legal opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
In trouble.
Let's take a look. What you saying?
Mr. Harry S. Marshall.
Good job.
Mr. Harry S. Marshall, Jr., a commercial fisherman registration licensee, was convicted on January 25, 2016, for one count of possession of uncalled oysters, 8 quarts. And on August 4th, 2014, for one count of violating the crab sanctuary harvest restrictions.
All right. Let's see here. Let's hear from the officer, whichever one y'all. Now, you've been sworn in, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. You can proceed.
On Tuesday, June 24th, 2014, approximately 11 o'clock, I was patrolling the Blue Crab Sanctuary off of Windmill Point. I observed a fishing vessel, the Silver Mist, that was placing crab pots in the water. I marked one of the positions of the last crab pot I observed go in the water with my GPS. I called Mr. Bridgers and gave him that position, and he placed that crab pot at 5,082 feet inside the crab sanctuary, which was closed at that time. Mr. Marshall was ID'd as the boat captain by his Virginia Marine Resource Commission licenses. He told me that he was from Reedville. He didn't know the area. And that he had been told that Windmill Point Light was the actual line, which it is not. And the GPS position that's published on our website doesn't do him any good because he doesn't have a GPS on the boat. I charged him with 4 VAC 27-52-30 pertaining to the Blue Crab Sanctuary conducting commercial fishing within the Crab Sanctuary. On August 4th, 2014, Mr. Marshall was convicted of the charge in Middlesex General District Court. He was fined $50, and he has paid that.
Thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to add for, to in your testimony?
No, sir.
May I have a question for Mr. Freddy?
No, I'd just like to be recused from this.
Okay. You certainly can be.
Thank you.
All right. And then so we have another charge with Officer William Franklin. I think we need to swear you in. Is that correct? Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir, I do. This occurred on December the 29th of 2015. And I was on patrol in the Great Wicomico River in Northumberland County and had the opportunity to observe captain of the boat, Mr. Harry Marshall, Jr., on a Carolina skiff displaying numbers VA9609BD. And he was hand scraping there on the public hand scrape area in the Great Wicomico River. There were two people on board of the boat. One basket of oysters were taken. They dumped into a certified tub and inspected. And it was found that Mr. Marshall had 8 quarts of uncalled oysters. Mr. Marshall was issued a summons for the possession of the uncalled oysters. The catch was placed overboard on the oyster reef, and Mr. Marshall ceased oystering for that day. Mr. Marshall was cooperative with me, and the summons was issued, and he prepaid that before court.
Thank you. Any questions of Officer Franklin? All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Burgess, or Marshall, excuse me, do you have any thing you'd like to state with regard to these two incidences?
Well, just the one with the
swearman.
I'm sorry. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Thank you.
The only one I want to say is about the sanctuary. All up in that, you know, up the bay or down the bay, it's the lighthouse is the marker, the wolf trap. Symbol light, and that's what I thought the Rappahannock light was. And he seen me throwing the pots over, and I was just putting them all board right then when he come to me. And he asked me, did I know where the line was? And I said, yeah, yes, the lighthouse. And he didn't know, so he called. And then he come back and wrote me a ticket. And I told him I'd take them right back up. I mean, well, to me, that was just a mistake.
Okay.
I mean, it ain't no markers, and I didn't know that's the first time I had ever crab right there.
All right, Mr. Marshall, what about your other?
And the oyster ticket, we were wrong. Ain't no getting around that. There were that many in a bushel.
Okay.
I just hope it won't happen again.
All right. Any questions from Mr. Marshall? All right. Without any questions, we'll listen for staff recommendation.
Commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of possession of greater than 100% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year probation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the Commission place Mr. Marshall on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this Commission meeting, April 26, 2016, through April 25, 2017. Any failure on Mr. Marshall's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the one-year probation would result in Mr. Marshall appearing before the Commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Marshall, do you have any reaction to that that you'd like to share with us? Alrighty, sir. Thank you. All right, we operate on a motion. Mr. Erskine.
I appreciate Mr. Marshall's honesty, you know, and the fact that you made a mistake, you know, with the pots, and I can understand how that, you know, could be an honest mistake fishing in a new area, and the honesty on the oyster resource violation. So I would make a motion to accept staff recommendation for probation for 1 year.
Second.
All right. Second by Ms. Cowell.
Yes.
All right. So we have a motion to accept staff recommendation. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed signify by saying nay. Unanimously carried. Staff recommendation. Thank you, Mr. Marshall. Officer behind you will be able to take you on. Oh, yeah. Can you grab Wayne for you? All right, so Mr. Clinton Steele.
Mr. Clinton W. Steele, a commercial fisherman registration licensee, was convicted on January 25, 2016, for one count of possession of uncalled oysters at 8 quarts.
Officer Fred Mitchell, I'll have to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you.
On December 29, 2015, Officer Mitchell was patrolling the public oyster grounds in the Great Wisconsin River in Northumberland County. While on patrol, I came alongside a workboat, Little Amy, and made contact with Clinton Steele. Mr. Steele's license and user fees were up to date. The captain of the vessel was Keith Wilmer. Wilmer and Steele were the only two on the vessel. There were 6.5 bushels total on this vessel, and I took one of these bushels and called them on my patrol boat while Steele and Wilmer stayed alongside and observed this process. This bushel was called out of a certified tub with a certified call stick provided to me through this agency. This bushel contained 8 quarts uncalled oysters. After I offered Mr. Steele the opportunity to bond his oysters, he stated, well, the way they look, there's no need. And I issued one summons to Mr. Steele for 8 quarts of uncalled oysters, State Code 282510. Mr. Steele prepaid the summons before court, and a court date was set for January 25th of this year, and he was very cooperative and polite to me.
Thank you very much. Any questions for the officer? Seeing none, we'll move to Mr. Steele. Mr. Steele, I need to swear you in. I'll try. Do you solemnly swear to say the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. What would you like to say about...
I was wrong when you got me.
Okay.
Try not to do it again.
All right. Well, any questions? I suspect not. All right. Well, staff recommendation.
Again, the Commission's guidelines for sanction specify that one conviction of possession of greater than 100% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year probation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the Commission place Mr. Steele on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this Commission meeting, April 26, 2016, through April 25, 2017. Any failure on Mr. Steele's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the one-year probation would result in Mr. Steele appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
All right. Mr. Steele, you've heard staff recommendation. Do you have anything to add to that? Or? All right, do we have a motion? Ms. Kellum.
According to our packet, Mr. Steele does not have any other convictions. Is that correct?
It looks like it.
With that said, I'd approve. I'd go with staff recommendation. Make a motion for staff recommendation.
Second this.
Second by Mr. Franz. All right, I'll call the question. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All against, signify by saying nay. All so that vote is unanimous. You'll have a one-year probationary period. There's an officer behind you that can take you and make sure you understand your appeal process. Thank you very much. All right. Ronald Lee Haywood.
Mr. Ronald Lee Haywood, a commercial fisherman registration licensee, was convicted on February 8, 2016, for one count of possession of uncalled oysters, 6 quarts.
All right. Officer Sims, you have not been sworn in, I don't think. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Tell us what happened.
I realize that he's not here, that his wife is.
This is an unusual one for me.
Well, he was properly noticed, so we can take the letter and we can take your testimony if you want and can proceed, or we can delay and have a hearing next month if you want to.
Hang on a second.
It just depends on what the commission wants to do.
Does the commission want to move forward on this with a representative?
I think I would.
All right. Thank you. We'll proceed.
On December 30th, 2015, I was called down to the Heathsville office, the area office. Met up with First Sergeant Bell and Captain Rose. Informed me of an issue that they were having down in Ingram Bay, Great Wacomico Oyster Ground. I left the office, went down to Ingram Bay. I waited for the boat, which only that's all I was given was the name of Captain Cole. Captain Cole came in that day around 2 p.m. I met with Ronald Haywood. He was captain of the boat. He was alone on the boat that day. I called him a bushel of his oysters and a certified tub, certified stick, and he was over his limit, at least 6 quarts over. I called First Sergeant Bell and asked First Sergeant Bell what his record was, because in the area I was, I couldn't get anything. I didn't know anything about it. After talking to him, he said we'd call another bushel of oysters, so that's what I did. Come up with 8. Court's over. Mr. Haywood was very cooperative, very helpful, no issues whatsoever. Before I could ask him any other questions about whether or not he wanted to bond his oysters or anything, he told me no. He just gotten a ticket the day before for not tagging his oysters. He used his boat to put the oysters back overboard. He was issued a summons. On February the 8th, he went to court in Northumberland County. His fine was $110 with $110 suspended, 1 year good behavior, $86.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to mention in your testimony? Any questions of the officer? All right. I guess we'll hear from Mr. Haywood's representative. Would you state, let me swear you in first. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir. First off, I'm here on Ron's behalf.
State your name?
Yes.
Excuse me?
Would you state your name into the microphone?
My name is Brooke McLeod. I'm here on Ron's behalf. He sent me with a letter. He just received a job working on a tugboat, Vulcan Materials Company. So he's gone for 2 weeks. He sent me with a letter I would like to read to you now. To the Board of Commission, I, Ronald Haywood, am unable to attend this meeting in regards to the future of my commercial waterman license. This does not mean I am any less concerned about the matter. I recently started a new job with Vulcan Materials Company working on a tugboat, and we leave for 2 weeks at a time. I felt it would be very unprofessional to ask for 2 weeks off my second trip out. With that said, I've sent my fiancé, Brooke McLeod, to represent me with this letter. In regards to my license, I understand why I was recommended to be reviewed by you all today. I have made a mistake and understand and accept the punishment. I have since reviewed the laws and have a better understanding of what I am and am not supposed to do. I've been working on the water for 15 years and have not received any tickets as a captain until recently, and would like the board to take that into consideration when deciding my future as a waterman. The board feels as if some sort of action should be taken. I ask if probation would be a suitable punishment, seeing as I am not a repeat offender. I hope you give me the opportunity to continue to support my family. If you allow me to keep my license, you will not see me back in here. That's a promise. Thank you for your time and considering my statement.
We can take that. All right. Thank you. Any questions of the representative? Your name again, I'm sorry. Ms. McLeod. I suspect not. Can we have the recommendation from staff, please?
Commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of possession of greater than 50% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year probation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission place Mr. Haywood on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, April 26, 2016, through April 25, 2017. Any failure on Mr. Haywood's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 1 year probation would result in Mr. Haywood appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
All right. You've heard staff recommendation. Mr. Erskine.
I appreciate, you know, Mr. Haywood sending a letter acknowledging that it's a serious violation and the fact that he was wrong. I would make a motion to accept staff recommendation for a one-year probation.
Second. Second by Mr. Minor. Motion made by Mr. Erskine. I'll call the question. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All against, nay. Unanimous. So he's gotten his wish of probation. Thank you. All right. Next one is Robert Ryan Grasty.
And the last case before you today. Mr. Robert R. Grassley, a commercial fisherman registration licensee, was convicted on September 22nd, 2015, for one count of possession of rockfish out of season.
Alrighty, you've been sworn in, Officer Holliday, correct? All right. Would you tell us what happened?
On August 4th of 2015, at approximately 8:25 p.m., I was in the Jamestown Yacht Basin in Jamestown County. I observed Mr. Grasby alone in his boat tied up at the dock. Approached him. As I approached him in my vehicle, he looked up, saw me coming, and was holding a striped bass, and he threw it over his shoulder into the water. I was close enough that I could see it was a striped bass. Upon retrieving the fish from the water, it was a freshly dead striped bass. It was the only fish in the area. He acknowledged catching and retaining the fish. He further advised that it had been a long time since he had kept a fish he wasn't supposed to keep. He had one stripe in his possession. I did issue him a summons for possession of recreational striped bass out of season, or VAC 252-50. He was tried in James City County on September 22nd last year, found guilty. His fine was assessed at $50 with a court cost of $101. I checked this morning, and it shows that as of this morning, he has not yet paid the fine in the court.
All right, Mr. Holliday, anything else you'd like to include in your testimony?
Yes,
sir. All righty, at this point, Mr. Grasty, would you come forward? I'll swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you, sir. Would you like to tell us kind of what happened there?
Well, I just had a fish and should have thrown it back. It wasn't the right thing to do. I didn't realize something like this would affect my livelihood. And I just kept going. Never happened. No idea.
All right. Let's hear staff recommendation. Unless there's any other any question of Mr. Grassby, any questions at all? Nope. All right, staff recommendation is.
Commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of commercial possession of striped bass out of season within a 12-month period should result in at least 1 year probation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission place Mr. Grassley on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, April 26, 2016, through April 25, 2017. Any failure on Mr. Grassley's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 1 year probation would result in Mr. Grassley appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
All right. Mr. Grassley, you've heard that recommendation. Understand any reaction? All right. And do we have a motion?
I have some discussion.
Oh, okay.
For the motion. I guess, you know, one striped bass out of season, and we was charged under recreational possession, but then we have the guideline of commercial, so that's kind of an odd thing there. But we do have multiple, I guess, 10 convictions, and I guess most of them are striped bass violations. Mm-hmm. And so this is not, so one fish kind of a, so what? But we've got multiple convictions with striped bass regulations in the past. And so I guess I have a little bit more of a problem with of a repeat offender type of thing with just a one-year probation.
All right, Mr. Franz?
Yeah, I'm kind of in line with Dr. Neal here. And we had a gentleman here earlier with 9 co-ring violations. Here we have 7 striped bass violations. You know, it seems to be an ongoing thing, and you know, I'm going to make a motion now. I would motion for 3 years probation.
I'd like to second that.
Yeah, we'll get a question on that
one. I'm sorry.
Very good.
I'm good.
All right, so we have a motion for 3 years of probation from Mr. Franz.
Second by Mr. Minor.
Mr. Minor, thank you very much. So, is there any discussion on this motion? All right. Seeing none, well, I'll call the question. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. The motion carries unanimously. You'll have 3 years probation, Mr. Grassley. You're welcome, sir. You'll file the officer behind you.